Well, thank you, thank you. I hope I can live up to that welcome. And we were joking last night at the graduation. We all clapped as people stood up, and I was thinking to myself, man, if we're clapping before they start speaking, what if they're not that good? So I'm afraid, I hope I don't do that to you guys here and leave you feeling wanting. Thank you, Pastor Sam. Where do you run? There he is. Thank you, Pastor Sam, for letting me speak here. It's a true honor. Being raised in the church, you know, you got a couple different services that are huge. You got Christmas, Easter, and right there with them is Mother's Day. So to be up here for Mother's Day, it's a true honor, and I truly appreciate that. Before I get going, I want to talk about, I need to give like a couple housekeeping is what we like to call them. I want to kind of frame what I'm doing here. Sam gave a wonderful intro of who I am, so I don't really need to cover that, I don't think, because it's not really about me anyway. But why am I here? Because you might be wondering yourself, why do we have the Army here on Mother's Day? So I want to kind of frame that for you. And then also, I want to cover the boots because I need to. So for why I'm here, so Pastor Sam kind of talked about it a little bit, but I want to take you back a year from now. About a year ago, I felt a calling on the Lord. He said, hey, I want you to give a message out there at Twin Lakes. Reach out to Pastor Sam and let him know that. I kind of ignored it. I put it on the side. I was like, I really don't want to do that. I don't think that's probably a good idea. I'm not going to do that. So I didn't send an email out to Sam at that time. It went on with life. At that time, Cammie and I were looking at retirement. We hadn't decided for sure, but we were looking at it. And we were starting the process. I still had one deployment. Once we got a little bit closer, I had one deployment to go, and that deployment was in August. That was going to be my last deployment. We knew that going into it. This is the last one that I'm going to do, so we had a couple events that were coming up. That was one of them. Went out. I deployed. It ended up being the worst deployment I could have ever had, one of those terrible things. We ended up losing a friend of mine on that mission, and so it was kind of a cap to all of them that I really wasn't expecting. I get through August, then I come home. We've got a few more events coming up, and I mean we're still kind of in that last little race to the end. But in that event, so now I'm home in September. Then October happens. That's when we lost my mom, was in October. So another one that we weren't really. Well, we make it through October. We make it through the memorial service, and it was wonderful. We had it here at the church. If you were a part of that, or if you were here, you got to witness that. I mean, it was wonderful. It had mom written all over it. It was incredible, and just incredible. So I go home on Tuesday, I think it was, I make it home, and Cammie and I decide we're going to try to get back into normal life. Normal for me is waking up at 2 a.m., having a Bible study, and then jumping into schoolwork before I actually go off to work. So there I am that morning typing away, having a Bible study, just time with the Lord, and then it hits me again, hey, reach out to Sam. So this time, I decided not to run. This time I decided I'm going to do it. I'm gonna write to him. So I start typing out the email real quick, like, this is what I'm feeling, Sam. Just kind of wanted to let you know. And then I pull up the calendar because I knew the next time we were going to be in town was going to be for Jordan's graduation. When I pull that up, that was when I see Mother's Day on the calendar. And I had a moment. You know, I can definitely say, Lord and I, we had a moment. I was kind of like a 5-year-old, you know, threw myself back in the chair like, really? Mother's Day? Are you kidding me? But nonetheless, he won the battle. And I finished off the email. I think I finished it off by saying, hey, I feel like Noah being about to be spit up on Nineveh's shore. I sent it up, and I was like, I honestly didn't think he would email back. I honestly thought Sam would say, hey, this is probably not a great idea. Let's do something different. You know, we can maybe look at this another time, but he didn't. He said, this is great. It was actually early in the morning, I think 7:30, I had a text message that said, hey, this is a great idea. I think this is perfect. It'll be wonderful. It'll be spectacular. So that's why I'm here. That kind of brings you up to time of why I'm here. And then the shoes. Justin, he told me to stand right here, so hopefully this is a good spot to be able to see this. This is something I got to explain because only the few people in the front rows will be able to see this. And some of you that saw it probably thought, well, this poor fellow forgot his nice shoes and had to wear boots with his uniform. And this drove mom crazy, and that's why I got to talk about it. So You can see I'm in boots and a uniform. This is an airborne unit thing, and then other special units also wear it. So this is a prescribed uniform. Boots are supposed to be worn, not the dress low quarters. So that pretty much sums that all up. I wanted to take care of that to get us going. Today, you may have seen it ahead of time, legacy is what we're going to be talking about. That's what I'm going to be discussing today, so your legacy. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for all the mothers that are here, and I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to drive your cross down here in front of me. I ask you to hide me behind you. I ask you to hide my imperfections behind your perfection, my insecurity behind your love, your admiration, Lord. I just praise your name. I lift you up. Bring all the glory to you, Lord. Pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. So I was actually able to see like where all the financial advisors are, where the CPAs, the Tommy Ruff believers, the Dave Ramsey financial piece. Because when I said something about legacy and we were talking about legacy, everybody kind of sat forward a little bit. Like, yes, this one's about us. This is finally one about us. I hate to disappoint you. It's not that kind of legacy. It's a little bit different. More specifically, as you can read, it's the legacy that you leave is the life that you lead. The legacy that you leave is the life that you lead. Again, I want to frame this. Let's go to our Bible. We're going to post it up here so you don't have to open it, but if you do, in the Pew Bibles on page 934 in 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, we're going to read in there. I'll be reading out of the ESV. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I wanted to point this out, a couple things there, we've highlighted them. Be holy in all your conduct. Be holy in all your conduct. You know, we hear all, as we're growing up through life, we hear God has a plan for your life, and we say, sweet, what is it? We wonder what it is. Well, that's it right there, it's pretty blunt. Be holy in all your conduct. If it was only just that easy, it'd be wonderful. And the other thing, since it is written, that's one of those key statements in the Bible. Since it is written, it means that it's written somewhere else. So we're going to look to see where else it's written. If you go over to Leviticus, this is a little bit earlier in your Bible, over there in your Pew Bible, page 87. In Leviticus, this is where God's talking to Aaron and Moses. It's where he gives them all the do's, the don'ts, and everything else. And then he caps it all off with this last statement. He says, For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So God's got a plan for our life. What is it? Be holy in all we do. It sounds pretty easy. But then when you're flipping through, because we're looking for that but clause, there's always a but clause, but in these instances, you can kind of skip it. You know, you might have a boss at work that's pretty tough to deal with. You might have a coworker at work that's pretty hard to deal with. You might have a life that's kind of coming down on you, weighing you hard. So you're looking for the but clause. Where's the but clause in here where I can skip and I don't have to be holy on these certain instances, but there's not one? That's really the but clause, is that there is no but clause. We need to be holy. We're called to be holy in all our conduct. All our conduct. Well, that's pretty hard, and I know that. Like, I may be the only one here that suffers from struggling with that, being holy in all my conduct. There's some times when I'll partially lose my holy. Has anybody ever thought about losing their holy? So I'm not the only one. That's good. I'm glad. I was hoping it wasn't going to be dead silence. I can honestly say I have lost my holy at times. You might be dealing with, like, that waiter that's taking your order and it's not quite right, and you're trying to be just as nice as you can, but you can't. Or maybe they come rude at you, and so you got to match them. You at least got to match them. You might be a one-upper. I mean, sometimes I might have to be a one-upper too. Okay, I'll see your anxiety, your anger, and I'll one-up you one little bit more. And then afterwards, you feel terrible about it because you think, that's not me. That's not what I want to do. Well, I want to give you an example here. I'm not going to give you an example of when I totally lost a holy, because we don't want to go there. But So I'm going to give you an example. Cammie and I, we go to a church, Life Point Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it was actually listed as the fastest growing church in America just recently. That's what they said. For Easter, they had there's three campuses right now. We go to the main campus. The main campus had four services. This is a military town, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Clarksville, Tennessee. They had four services at the main campus, and they had 8,000 people there for Easter. That's a lot of decisions made, a lot of lives changed. That's incredible. And you think about like that demographic at a military town, around that military town. That's pretty incredible. Well, so at Life Point Church, we have what's called life groups. They kind of have something similar here. It's called small groups. It's really the same thing. I highly, highly recommend that you get involved in a small group, because a small group is how a big church feels small. I mean, our church, Life Point, that we go to, we've got these seats, and then we have the balcony seats that go up beyond that. When I started coming here, got Mom and Dad to come here. When we drove by this, when we first moved here, I said I'd never come here because it was too big. And back then, it was even smaller. But I said, I'll never go to a big church because in a big church, you'll get lost. You won't get to know anybody. Well, these small groups, that's how you actually get to know others around you. You get to get involved. They get to know you. You know people by name, and that big church feels small. So we're part of a small group. We became part of a small group, or our life group. And the life group we chose was about leadership, because I'm a big fan of leadership, and I know Cammie is too. That's kind of what my studies are in, management, leadership, organizational change. So we went into this leadership group, and the majority of our group, we're actually the old couple. We've been referred to as the old couple just recently. It was pretty funny. But we were the old couple in the group. The majority of the group was the younger crowd, college age, in the crowd, and we loved it. We love that group. We feel the life of the group. We're able to kind of give them something from our experience and from theirs. So it's a wonderful, wonderful group that we're a part of. One of the things that they didn't have that we kind of are used to, and you guys might be too, is food. Food, drinks, coffee, tea, you know, whatnot at those events. Well, they didn't have them. So this one day I decide on our way there, we're going to stop and we're going to pick up Taco Bell. And we're going to bring Taco Bell to our life group. And Taco Bell, I should probably put this caveat in there. I need to tell you, Cammie and I were vegans. So I'm sorry if I just lost the rest of you. Some of you I might have lost in the Dave Ramsey and Tommy Ruff comment, but let me explain that to you. We've got a bad, bad history in our family with heart disease, cholesterol, and I have bad cholesterol. So a long time ago, about I think 4 years ago, we decided to go to a whole food plant-based diet, and it's been really, really good for us. It's been able to help my cholesterol come down. I haven't had major issues with heart disease or anything yet, so that's why we went to it. So why Taco Bell? Because they have good choices, and I'm not being paid by Taco Bell, so you know I should probably tell you that. But why Taco Bell? Because they have good choices for us to be able to get something there for what they have on their menu. So I go up to the counter and I order a package of tacos, 12 tacos, soft and hard mixed, of course, and that way you get people choices. But then I order something for us, and what I get for us is the cheesy bean and rice burrito comes off of the Cravings or Dollar Menu, whatever they call it, because we're cheap as well. I order those, but then what I do is I order them fresco. So you didn't come here to church today and think that you were going to learn something new, but actually there I just taught you something. If you go in and you say fresco, what Taco Bell will do is they'll take off all of your dairy products, and they'll give you pico de gallo. They'll put that on there for free. It's like a little quid pro quo between Taco Bell and the vegan crowd. It's pretty awesome. So I order the 12 tacos, and I order those cheesy bean and rice burritos, fresco. I feel pretty good about it because I know the secret words. Then I pay. Then I take a step back and wait my turn. And then the bag comes out, and of course I check it because that's what we normally do. I open it up and I check it. And the burrito is not fresco. It has the cheesy jalapeno sauce on it, which I have to tell you is delicious, but it's not really that good for us. So I politely roll it back up, and I give it back to the girl at the front. And she, you know, you could tell she's really disturbed about having to take these back. She doesn't really care for it. I'm trying to be as nice as I can. I haven't completely lost my holy. But I'm a little bit, you know, okay, these aren't done right. They're not fresco. And I give the secret word and everything. So she takes them back. She takes them back to the back, and where they remake them, I wait again. I'm looking at my watch now, because now I had some extra time. We got there a little bit early. I was making sure I had a little time in the bag. I'm still okay. I'm not going to be late because I had given myself that extra time. But I'm tight. That's another thing. Cammy and I, we're timely people. For me, if you're not early, you're late. I work where I work. You're plus or minus anywhere in the world 30 seconds. If you miss that mark, you can be fired. And people do get fired for it if they miss that standard. So we're timely people. I wait patiently. The food comes out again. I roll it open. I check it. Still not fresco. Whew. Now we got a problem. Now I'm going to be late. I'm going to be late to a life group filled with college kids that are probably also going to come in late as they normally do with their Starbucks or whatever it is, but not us, not Jason and Cammy, not the old couple. We're not going to be late, but now we are. This one time, we're going to be late. Well, I call the girl over again. She's, you know, obviously less than pleased. She makes some comments, goes back, gets the manager. The manager comes up, and the manager was great because it was obviously, to me, that framed everything. I was able to, once the manager came out and said something, I was able to see how the rest of her team got the attitude that they had because they were feeding off of her. We had a talk, and I didn't lose my holy again. I didn't, but we had a talk. I told her I had asked for fresco, and she less than politely said, well, if I make them fresco, all you're going to have on it is beans, rice, and pico de gallo. And I was like, exactly. That's exactly what I want, so I'm glad that you understand. So she snatched the bag, threw it in the trash, and went, remade them, and then came back out a little bit later. I didn't check the bag this time because it really wasn't worth the hassle, and it didn't matter anyway. I take the bag up to our life group. Of course, we were late. We were still the first ones there, but we were late anyway. And, of course, everybody else showed up whenever they were going to show up, but they were there. They made it as well when they planned to be there, and it was a great life group. Everybody enjoyed the tacos. We had a good time. And you say to yourself, you say, but Jason, man, I understand. They only have one job. They only had that one job. It's all they had to do right was they knew the word was fresco. They should know that. Or they should know how to count out the change. Or they should know how to do this or that or whatever. But I say to you, we are called to be different. We are called to be holy in all we do, not when it's convenient. Not only when the person is nice to us, we're called to be holy at all times. And that's hard. That's hard. But the difference is, when we're called to be holy, we're not called to be holy because we're going to get something for it. We're not called to be holy because we're going to have an extra badge to put on our shirt, an extra tassel for our hat, an extra anything that's going to, an extra mansion, and nothing extra. We're not called to be holy for that. We're called to be holy because Christ wants us to be holy because He is holy. He wants others to see Him through us. That's the goal. That's the difference. That's what makes us different, is Christ through us. So for Mom's celebration of life, we had an awesome display up here. We had sent Justin a ton of pictures ahead of time. He put that to music, and we had a slideshow that had all family pictures, memories, and everything else on that with that slideshow, and it was wonderful. It was really, really, truly wonderful. And the song that Justin put it to was Casting Crowns, Only Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard that song before. I had heard it before going into that, but I listened to it that day. And I truly heard the words, and I truly heard what I was supposed to get from that. Now, I would sing it to you. I would love to sing it to you, but I can only carry a tune on my back and with hard labor. That's how I would carry it. But I want to read this to you. I want to read you the chorus. Excuse me. There's Walmart. I'm not paid by them either. It says, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. What legacy are you leaving? What life are you leading? Are people able to see Christ through you in all that you do? Are you able to live holy in all your conduct?